presence of the King. Brother Teddy, how about thanking Him this morning? Amen. 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 Remind me what book we're in.
Revelation.
How many revelations are there?
One.
Who's it belong to?
Jesus
is correct. Who wrote it?
God
the Father. What did He do with it? He gave it to the Son. What did the Son do with it? He gave it to John. What did John do with it? He gave it to angel. Give it to the angel, and the angel give it to John. John, give it to us. That's exactly right. How many themes?
Two.
Two? What are they? Give me one of them. We're going to adore His person. What else are we going to do? We're going to accept His plan. Is exactly right. Okay. Well, we're in chapter 4. Or we'll be here in a minute. I got me a set of those eclipse glasses. I was going to watch the eclipse. And right when it come down to it, the moon got in the way. And I didn't get to see it. I missed it. Now, last week, well, let me back up a minute. On Thursday night, in Bible Institute, the man we listened to is named John Yates. And his church is Rolling Road Baptist Church in down in Louisiana, I believe it is. Monroe, Louisiana. And for the couple of years I've been involved in this, every once in a while I get a pop-up on my phone, one of their services. But I've never got to hear John. It was always some other preacher. But this week, right after we finished Ezekiel 38 and 39, I had a pop-up and it was John Yates. And he was preaching about Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many people had been asking him, was that it, that skirmish with where Iran attacked Israel there a couple weeks ago? And the sermon was explaining no. And he told them when it was going to happen. And let's look over there just a minute. You remember when we started the book of Revelation, we said the scenes jump from heaven to earth and back to heaven and back to earth. Almost every chapter or two chapters, the scenes jump back and forth. And it's pretty obvious that chapter 4 and chapter 5 take place in heaven. And he says, let's look at chapter 6 for a minute. This is where he puts that battle that we read about last week. Chapter 6 starts off, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. There's going to be seven seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. That, remember, there's thunder. I said it was in chapter 4, verse 5 is where I put the battle, kind of. Noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. I think we'll learn later, I'm going on memory, I think that's famine, the white horse. And by the way, chapter 6 is back on earth now. A white horse, and he sat on him, had a bow and a crown was given to him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, John Yates says this is when that battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens at the second seal. And I heard the second beast saying, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. That would match up with communist Russia coming down from the north. And power was given to him that sat there on to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Well, really, our timing's not far off. Both of those are in the beginning of the tribulation period. That first and second seal, they could happen within a week of one another or a month or a year. So I was just glad to be in agreement with someone. Usually, I just like to disagree, usually, but we were pretty close there. Let's go back to Revelation 4 now. And now a little bit of bad news. Also, another thing you know that's going on as soon as we go up is going to be the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And we haven't talked about that yet. We're going to talk about it a little bit today. Starting in verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. Now, jasper, what I read about it is hard. It's a hard stone. I want to go ahead and tell you, I hate to tell you, but it's going to be a hard judgment.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. The laws of God's government are fixed and firm. Now, Brother Rick is wishy-washy. He's back and forth, up and down, in and out, but not the Bible. Not what we're going to be judged by. It's a straight line. And it's going to be a hard judgment. And then and a sapphire stone. A sapphire is supposed to be a picture of holiness. It's red. It's going to be a holy judgment. Not going to be no crooked lawyers. Not going to be, no one's going to get bought off. It's going to be a hard judgment. It's going to be a holy judgment. And then this two stones together picture humanity. It's going to be a humane judgment. You know, like the God-man. Let's look at that in John 1:17. Will be a fair judgment. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's going to be the judge, and it's going to be grace and truth is what he's going to use. It's going to be humane. It's going to be humane judgment. Then verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, always 12 is a picture of Israel, 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob. But also 24 is. Let's look at 1 Chronicles, see if we can see that, which that would be 2 times 12. 1 Chronicles 24. Which some say these 24 elders are us, and it could be. But anyway, I lean toward Israel here in 1 Chronicles 24, verse 4. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. Thus were they divided among the sons of Eleazar. There were 16 chief men of the house of the fathers, and 8 among the tribes of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. Now, 8 plus 16 is how many? 24. And he numbers them down through there. And when you get to verse 18 is the end of it. It's the 3 and 20th was Delilah, or whatever that is, and the 4 and 20th, Messiah. So there's your 20. That's a picture of the 24 elders. I don't know that that's the 24, but anyway, it's mainly a picture of Israel. And this is also a picture of formal. It's a formal judgment. It's a formal judgment. And then verse 5, back in Revelation 4, verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. It's not just a formal judgment. It's fearful. You ever hear voices?
Well,
thunder, and nobody's going to commit, are they? Thunder and lightning and voices. What about the voices? Hey, it's a fearful judgment. And then the 7 spirits of God here, Isaiah 11:1. Maybe we can get a picture of them. Isaiah 11:1. And 11:1 and 2 here. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B branch, shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. If you count the Spirit of the Lord up at the top, that'd be 7 of them. It's going to be a fearful judgment. It's going to be a factual judgment. The facts are going to come out. Omniscience himself is there. The one that knows everything, going to be the judge. It's going to be a factual judgment. It's going to be a formal judgment, a fearful judgment, and a factual judgment. Then back to Revelation 4, verse 6. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And then, let's stop right there for a minute. Now, there's 3 theories on this sea of glass. One theory is that that's people. You know, you've seen a bunch of people in a pile, and it looks like a sea. Some say it's people. You get this same phrase in chapter 15, verse 2. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7-8, I'm sorry, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. The number one theory is it's people. Another theory is the laver where the priests cleanse their hands before entering the tabernacle is now crystallized because there's no need for it anymore. That's one theory. But then the third theory is some people say it's a sea of glass. The sea of glass is a sea of glass, some people say. It's up to you. It's a formal judgment. It's a fearful judgment. It's a factual judgment. And it's a final judgment. You'll never go to another one. Judgment. It's going to be fun and games after this, if we can get through this. And then it could be a fatal judgment, had it not been for the Lamb. If it wasn't for the Lamb, we'd all die a graveyard dead right here. It could be a fatal judgment if it wasn't for the Lamb. It'd be a real good place to say hallelujah right there. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:10, very familiar verses right here, tell about this. a picture of it. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now the judgment's going to be how we build on it. It's only saved people's going to be there. It's not going to be whether we're saved or not. It's going to be what Brother Rick did with his time, talent, money, whatever, between the time he got saved and the rapture or death. It's going to be what I did with whatever since I got saved. How did I build? For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Did I build on Him? Or did I build on the world or something else? What did I build on? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, so I could possibly have some good works in there maybe, wood, hay, or stubble, I could waste my time and whittle my time away eating ice cream every day, all day long, and that would be burned up. Every man's work shall be made manifest or made known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not what size. Not what size, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But I'll go ahead and tell you, that's probably not what we want, just to barely be saved by fire. We hear about the rewards. There's been several sermons about the rewards, but not much about the loss. He shall suffer loss, it says. What about the loss? Not much said about the loss. See, it's a personal judgment. It's going to reveal my character and my motives. Not just was I at Sunday school, did I get the 28-year pin for coming to Sunday school and never missing. Not just that. What's going to be judged is why did I come? Why? Am I here? Motives. It's not going to be a mass judgment.
Right.
All of us together. It's not going to be by class.
Right.
Yeah. It's not going to be the Baptist. It's going to be one by one. They're going to call out Rick Edward Childers. 438-6143.
Yeah.
Here's another little picture of it. You can see it in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. It's just another picture of it. 4:15 is a revelation. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. There it is, Brother Clark. The word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. It's a revelation. And then the return in 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And then a resurrection. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then in 17, a rapture. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. It's going to be good to see them. With them. And that's a reunion. Oh, that's going to be great. The reunion's going to be wonderful. And then even a reception. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Maybe even some refreshments. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But the end's not the end, because then we go to the review. And Brother Rick's probably going to be kicking cans, looking down at his feet. I don't know if they got cans. The darker it gets, the nearer this is. The darker this world gets, the nearer we're getting to judgment. It's a blessed hope if you're ready. if you're ready. See, we need to get our friends off the wreck.
Yeah.
It's about time for a big wreck. There's not the thickness of a paper between us and the judgment seat.
Think about that.
It's just about ready. Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready.
Yeah.
It's a New Testament command.
Yeah.
Brother Rick, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The tragedy of a wasted life. I'm to abide in Him. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall come, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That's the secret, is to abide in Him, to live in Him, to live in Him. Let's see if we can find some things here. Lehman Strauss says, there's very little preaching about the loss. He said, none of us can afford to be careless and indifferent because it's going to make a big difference in the end. He said, we need to be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so or not. Speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, Dr. Keith L. Brooks says, there's much emphasis on the rewards. And salvation is free, but not much about the loss. Many Christians will see much of their church work go up in a puff of smoke. Wood, hay, and stubble, because it had nothing to do with the salvation of souls or the edification of saints. And that's church work. This is what Brooks says. He says, not only with our works, but our witness and our stewardship and our living, our doing, all of these matter. And those that's never been confessed or gotten right with man or God, we're going to face. We'll be looking at them. And I'm going to shrink from the shame of being stubborn and caught up with all these things that's never been made right. Judgment is taking place at the same time when He comes. Dr. Graham Scroggie says, I'd rather go through the great tribulation than endure the judgment seat of Christ. Notification may be when faced with a moving picture of wrongs neither confessed nor straightened out. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. Christ will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. We shall receive according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad. Still, the day of reckoning matters. It's a time when, after we're called out of the world. Dr. M.R. Dehan says, every act, every moment, every talent which he possesses is to pass before the judgment seat of Christ before they can reign. If we do not make them right now, they will be made right at the judgment seat of Christ. It will not be a pleasant experience. It will be a loss. There'll be many sad regrets, many believers quite unprepared for His coming. If we refuse it now, it will be done at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the purpose of the judgment of believers. Theodore Epps says, inequalities will be ironed out. Injustices, misunderstandings, those who endured accusations and malicious gospel for Christ's sake will then be vindicated in the eyes of all and cleared of all false charges. Lehman Strauss again says, those that's divided because of differences, not on speaking terms, One time, very close, intimate friends are now separated in bitter feelings. Cannot continue on forever in holding hatred and animosity in their hearts. Heaven knows no such action. Yet there is no sin in heaven. Hence the necessity of the judgment seat of Christ. Dr. Emory H. Bancroft says, the mistakes will be rectified. Wrong judgments reversed. Misunderstandings corrected. Falsehoods exposed. It will be a clearing up moment. Every difficulty adjusted. Isaac M. Halderman says, each must give account to him. You cannot give account to me, I cannot give account for you. You must give account of yourself, I must give account of myself. A reason for what we did and what we did not do. Why we neglected His holy word, why we neglected prayer, why we neglected the house of God. Confessed sins will not appear. Unconfessed sins will be revealed. Dr. Donald Barnhouse says, Christians will be brought face to face with every alienated brother, every unredressed wrong, every unconfessed sin, and all unfaithful service. Alexander Patterson says, wrong motives, works left undone, personal examination, every secret thing, who both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, then shall every man have praise of God. All unsettled quarrels will be brought to account. Dr. H.H. Savage says, it's a fearful thing. Character assassins, doing everything they can to bring about schisms and difficulties in church. What sort of influence have we had? Yeah. Dr. L. Sale Harrison says, life lived outside of God's will suffers a dual loss. Serious effect on His earthly loss, revealed at the judgment seat of Christ, is even more tragic. God's grace, so marvelously manifested to a Christian, cannot be excused for sin. If we are not willing to judge ourselves, we must be judged, either here or there. We need 1 John 1:9. Daily, many times a day, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, if Rick does not confess our sins, which has not been cleansed, will be made manifest or exposed. John R. Rice says, do you think those who are reproved for having done bad will not be sad? There's no doubt. No doubt will flow many tears. See, it's later on when they're wiped away.
Right.
Later on. And that's a different chapter. In fact, to face Christ, the terror, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. John R. Rice says there will be tears in heaven, shame and sadness, tears over our failure, over my failure, and wasted opportunities. Dr. S. Franklin Logston says it's a solemn engagement indeed. Omniscience, the one that knows everything, has all knowledge, and we face the record. Self-centeredness, singing all the while, that will be glory for me. Pointed warnings regarding the judgment seat of Christ. Warnings ignored, relegate them to others. The Lord shall judge His people. Let's look at this here. This is Hebrews 10:30. Hebrews 10, 30 and 31. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. Saith, it's all true, isn't it, Brother Clark? Still all true. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what Jonathan Edwards preached. That's what he said. Still on Dr. S. Frank Logson here, he says it's sobering content. The Lord shall judge his own people. The terror of the Lord, the seriousness, the inevitable confrontation with Christ at the Bema seat, the responsibilities both to God and to man that I shirked. Dr. F. E. Marsh says, the light of the Lord's presence will illuminate our life. I can imagine that, just being in His presence. And reveal every secret of our heart. The heart will be revealed. The hidden things will be seen. It'll be a revelation. Ambitions will be seen. Bitterness detected. Covetousness unmasked. Deviations from the truth discovered. Envyings revealed. Fault finding. Grumblings. Murmurings disclosed. Heart backslidings, secret faults made known, indulgences of the flesh and selfishness, judging of others wrongfully unfolded, love of money, ease, world, opportunities lost for doing good and confessing Christ, perverseness of the heart, pleasures not of God, quarrelings, backbitings, anger, malice will be seen. Seen. Not read like I'm reading. Seen. Rebelliousness, selfishness, slanderings, self-willed, uncleanness, willfulness, and wanderings. Yearnings for the flesh pots of Egypt in horror of men. Dr. Robert I. Ketchum says, reigning is contingent upon suffering. Let's go ahead and read that. How about 2 Timothy 2:12? If we suffer, you know, like I got strawberry ice cream and I was wanting chocolate. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, who's that going to be? If we deny him, he also will deny us. Dr. Ketchum also says the millennial reign. Everything's getting lined up for who's going to do what in the millennium.
Yeah, that's right.
I asked the Lord, what am I to do in his kingdom today? He replies, nothing. I said, why? Why, Lord? Can I do something? He said, because you was content to do nothing before you got here.
Yeah. Think about that.
Because I took the easy way here, it'll be enough to cause me to weep and sorrow there. Dr. Herbert Lockyard says, believers must experience the judgment seat of Christ before they're qualified to serve in the kingdom. Restoration of broken or damaged fellowships. It's not a criminal court. It's a court of inquiry. The Lord and His own are alone, as all the disputes are settled and all relationships harmonized. He urges a settling of differences now. Kenneth Dodson says that the judgment seat of Christ, every Christian's position in the thousand-year reign will be determined on the basis of God's just evaluation of the Christian's life in this sinful world. Everything in the daily life is designed of God to make the Christian worthy of reigning with the Lord Jesus. Some reign with Him over 10 cities. Some, the unprofitable servants, are stripped of every reward. That's in Luke. The fool is spending his time and energy on gadgets instead of seeking ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He will have a so as by fire entrance. Preoccupation with the things which are seen may cost him the loss of the greatest possible reward for all eternity. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect of persons. That's Colossians 3. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Yeah.
Marsh goes on to tell about Ivan of Russia, a ruler, and he went through a local town trying. He dressed up like a bum, first of all, let me say. And then he went through a local town looking for a place to spend a night or someone that would give him a meal. And door after door was shut on him. And finally, one old man, let him in, half to crust the bread with him, and let him sleep on a cot in the corner. And then in a couple weeks, Ivan comes back dressed as the king and rewards him, takes him home with him. Dr. Marsh calls it the worker's reward. Everything that was done for his name's sake is what it'll be. Not much said about the loss.
No.
Must I go an empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet. Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. Oh, the years of sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I gladly bow. Oh, ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day. Ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? What about the lost, Brother Rick? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.